So a monkey ate my girlfriend or something like that, and then people are just like,
So what?
I decided to sit on a carrot the other day, and it was just, wasn't as painful as I thought it was.
Hey, what's your password?
It broke off. Well, good thing the gerbil's there.
Rusty 311.
All right, ready? Welcome back, flashback fans, to another Famicom Flashbacks podcast. It's me, Brandon, with the rest of the guys. We got Steve-O.
Hello.
We got Jupiter-O.
Hello.
And we got M-Trip-O.
Hi.
Oh, that sounds like Hungry Hungry Hippo.
Mr. Bucket, put your balls in my mouth.
Mr. Bucket. Bucket.
I don't think it's
up to Mr. Bucket. I thought it was not.
And we're all wasted.
Balls pop out of my mouth.
Completely. Completely drunk.
Yeah,
completely drunk.
Brandon, I noticed that you started this podcast with a Darth Vader impression. Why was that?
Oh, because we're starting our...
Okay, this is the worst double.
Is that asthma? Drinking a
slurpee? This episode is based on asthmatic things.
We're starting our star, our space theme. We're going to be venturing where no man or woman has gone before into... space video games, which actually, to be honest, a lot of people have ventured into already.
Yeah.
A lot of animals have gone to space. I've seen that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Noticed that. Yeah. Monkeys? That's the only one I know.
Foxes?
Foxes?
Rabbits? Toads?
Oh, worms. I see you're segueing into the video game realm here. You know what?
Cheese wedges?
I'm missing out on the cheese wedge thing.
No, wait for it.
The moon stage. The moon stage on... DuckTales.
Ka-cha!
The treasure is a wedge of cheese.
That's right. And who do you fight to get it?
A giant mouse. Another animal.
Who'd have thunk it?
I noticed you said animals, and then you moved into cheese wedges. Do you consider a cheese wedge to be an animal?
Sometimes. If you let it sit long enough, it'll grow legs and walk away.
Nice!
I've seen it. True story.
Hmm. So, three of us like cheese, and one of us doesn't.
Steve!
It's not that I don't like it.
Three of us enjoy life, one of us doesn't.
Steve!
Jupiter.
I don't know.
I feel so inadequate.
Go back to Pokemon, nerd.
We're talking about cheese. I was here to talk about space games. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But you can't have space without cheese.
And you can't have space or cheese without jets.
And without jets.
Spaceships.
Without Famicom Flashbacks.
In space. Wow, people are just like, what the heck are they talking about?
We're like, what the heck are
we talking about? We're going to go into space here. We're going to talk about some of these great... Really, we're going to be starting out with some of these great arcade space games. So many of them are about just, like, doing what you want to do is just flying around on a spaceship shooting stuff. Especially aliens. Welcome to Earth. Punch in the Face by Will Smith.
I hate that movie.
Okay, so let's get this off the table right now because this has absolutely nothing to do with why we're talking. Why do you hate Independence Day?
Because it's the worst movie ever made. The ending makes no sense. The actors are horrible. The story was just...
Okay, let me go through the actors in my head and see if I can find one good one.
Bill Pullman is okay. He's okay because he was the man in Spaceballs, and that you're up here with me with that.
Can you really say Will Smith is bad? He may not be your favorite.
He doesn't have a huge range. I'll give him that.
All right,
Smith plays Will Smith in most of his
movies.
We
all grew up with him as a Fresh Prince of Bel Air. All right, so he's got something there.
He's got Welcome to Earth, EARF, right there. He's got I Am Legend, where he kills his own dog. So that's just. Another strike right there.
But he had to kill his own dog.
No, he didn't. He could have killed himself.
Folks, tune in to our
he could have done. And that's what I would have done.
No, that movie's terrible. Folks, tune in to our next podcast where me and Matt talk about movies we hate.
Don't get me started.
Most of my Will Smith movies, I'm not going to lie. I'm really desperately trying to think of a Will Smith movie that's not bad, but the only thing that came to my mind as soon as I was trying was Wild Wild West. And he was awful.
Maybe I Am Robot.
What's wrong with Men in Black?
I Am Robot wasn't any good.
What's wrong with Men in Black?
Yeah, Men in Black.
First Men in Black. First Men in Black. One which is, three. See, I love these space.
Two had my favorite line in there.
Two had some great lines. Two did have the beatbox. Okay, one, two, and three. Men in Black, one, two, and three.
Faustinian.
Faustinian.
Mr. Bucket.
I never saw it.
Every Saturday, you used to be like, Jay, flush me. And I'd be like, nah.
Okay. Movie quotes don't always work when they're one-liners like that. No, I'm sorry. No. One-worders. No. Okay.
Oh, goodness. Well, thanks for listening.
So let's start this episode over again. Okay, so we're going to be talking about great space games. And really, we're going to get seriously retro here and talk about some of the great arcade space games. Again, flying around in jet fighters, doing our thang, spelled T-H-A-N-G, thang.
Written by Will Smith.
Oh, gosh, we got to get going with this episode. And I don't think you can start it out without... I don't think you can start it out without Space Invaders, which kind of really started the whole thing. Space Invaders came out of time. You got to remember, it was around that same time that... You know, like Star Wars was out. There was a revitalization in the kind of the world of sci-fi. You know, you had like, and especially with that, you know, like, just that whole movement after Star Wars, and that's where Space Invaders came in, and just a phenomenal game. I mean, anybody could sit down and play it. You know, Big Girl is one of her first. I know she said one of her first gaming memories is sitting down and playing Space Invaders. Just a really fun game.
Now, even if you're not into gaming, you know what Space Invaders is. Chances are you've played it before.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is the longest running series in video game history.
Yeah.
I mean, it has the most. It's been redone and been ported to I think every console handheld that's been out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just a fantastic. I mean, you think how much can you tweak this game to give it? But they do. You know?
We've spent a lot of time, you know, especially Matt and I, just talking about games that are accessible. You know, especially when we're doing events now, we're trying to find games that are accessible for people. And these are games that you don't have to sit down and give a long tutorial. Space Invaders, there's no tutorial required.
Point and click.
There are aliens. They look bad. Guess what? Shoot them. Done. I'll do that until the cows come home.
Welcome to Earth.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game, and it really, in a lot of ways, really started that kind of like. I mean, there's so many space arcade games that just that scene just blew up after Space Invaders. I mean, so many great ones. You know, obviously Space Invaders is one that I enjoy quite a lot, but really the ones that I love is the Galaga series. I mean, I always thought those... I thought, you know, when you in comparison to Space Invaders, I just thought they were much more fun. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, or if you guys are more fans of Space Invaders. Space Invaders, Galaga.
I like them both. I mean, I think they both have different things to offer. I honestly like one more than the other. You know, if I'm in the mood for one particular type of gameplay, I'll go with one.
Right.
But I don't think one necessarily does anything better than the other. It's just a completely different feel.
Yeah, I think... I think there's a certain energy though to like the Galaga series. I mean, what are the ones you had in Galaga? You had Galaxian, you had
Galpa,
Galaga, and then
the third one was Galpa.
Gapless. So you had three in that series, and the one that's really remembered is the second one, which is Galaga. And if you haven't played Galaga, or if you don't know the difference between Space Invaders and Galaga, Space Invaders, you are on the bottom. And you're a little, like, jet or cannon or ship or whatever. And you're trying to shoot these aliens as they gradually get closer to you. But with Galaga, it's more like you're flying through space. Still, you're on the bottom of the screen. You're supposedly flying upwards. But the aliens are coming in off the side of the screen. Oh, and they're like alien ships or aliens, you know, they almost look more like insects, and they're flying off the sides of the screen, and you are taking them out.
Now, this is my question. What game do you think out of the two would offer more of like either an adrenaline rush or cause you to enter panic mode?
It depends. It's two totally different feelings, because with Galaga, you got that movement of people of these aliens flying in throughout the course of the screen, but on a slower scale, on a more, you know, building up suspense.
you know, if you're not doing your job on Space Invaders, if you're not taking out aliens and they're gradually getting closer to you, you start really sweating bullets towards
the end. Because I mean, yeah, you can, you know, like you said in Galaga or whatever, you know, you're constantly doing it, so you're hitting guys, missing guys. You're not really
unless they come down and take your ship.
Yeah. But then you get it back, and you're like, go ahead, take my ship. I've already become two times more powerful.
Plus, you get the double shot, which is awesome. No, man, you ain't taking my ship.
So it's just, you know, got the concept of it. But in Space Invaders, all right, you take them all out, but there's that one ship left, and if you're not a Deadeye with your shot, I mean, that's it. Game over. I mean, so it's just like you get that feel, you're panicking. Yeah. You know, I mean, I got to get this guy, and it's just going so quick.
And, you know, in a testament to that, you know, it's like with Space Invaders, you know, that oh my God factor, you know, that you gotta hurry, they translated that to games, and it didn't even take very long for them to do that. The first thing that comes to mind is Centipede. That Centipede was the exact same way, you know. You get down to, you shoot that Centipede, and it gets down to like one or two blocks left. That thing's flying!
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, it's what? True. Like, you almost have to hit it accidentally, because you can't aim.
Yeah.
It's the original button masher. You're just like,
where's the turbo button when I need it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, they're all a lot of fun. What are some other ones where it's similar to that, to those kind of series? I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Defender, right?
Well, Defender was a cool one, but that one was more of a I don't want to say side scrolling, but I mean you're going sideways. You're
It was a but then, sideways rail shooter basically.
But then you have the games that it's like. If you want to stay old, hold on, I just had it in my head. Oh, like Zaxxon. Zaxxon was a huge game in the arcade.
Yeah.
That one was also like a kind of a cross between side-scrolling and above. So it was like, you know, the camera's here. You know, for those who can't see, it's like almost on the side of the ship, but it's you fly this way, so it kind of follows you, and you have to go up, down, around things, and you can shoot things.
Well, what was R-Type?
But it's not pure side scroll. It's you know, it's almost like a 3/4 view.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
As you go through the game.
I get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
There's R-Type. There's Abadox for the NES. Okay. That was a huge space game.
What was Xevious? What perspective was that one?
Xevious was.
Was that above? That was another above one.
Yeah, that was
like a 1942,
Thunderstrike,
Gradius.
Gradius.
I think Gradius was another top down, wasn't it?
A lot of them were top down because of the arcade. That was what was popular and it was the easiest to make.
Right.
You know, and
I mean, so much about the old arcade. I guess they really do it now, but I mean, no. So much about it was just, that's going to be in every podcast, by the way. So much about it was, you know, just taking a formula that worked. You know, it's like the Miss Pac-Man, you know, the Pac-Man Miss Pac-Man. Just find something that works and then just market the hell out of it.
Yep.
Or run with it. But I was really thinking market the hell out of it. And then when it gets to the point that it's overdone, no.
And no. Marketing,
man. Add a bow and name it something else.
Exactly. So the big difference there between, you know, obviously you had a lot of the above. You were just saying a minute ago about the Defender. The Defender was kind of like on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit.
Yars Revenge.
For the Atari.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool ones. I just. You gotta love.
Motor Control.
You gotta love. Flying ships in space and shooting stuff. I mean, it's just so much fun. And
there's a really good game that if you guys have not played, shame on all of you, because it is absolutely fantastic. It's a side-scrolling space shooter.
Yeah.
That's, some of the game is actually in space, some of it is in cities and stuff.
I already know what you're going to say.
What is it?
It's Pigs in Space, the video game.
No.
Bam!
For Atari.
Bam! Dropped it.
No. Pigs in Space for the Atari.
No, but that's
a
good guess. We're going to put a pin in that one.
we'll come back to that one later. Our Muppet Space episode.
It's for the PlayStation 1, and all of our fans should know it, Einhander.
Einhander, yeah.
Fantastic game.
You know what, that was soundtrack. What I was thinking about, because you know Matt showed me that one time, or was it, did you, Steve, what did you do on the show?
Yeah, it's,
you don't have
you're a ship.
I show you nothing.
First off, it's done by Squaresoft. What? And, yeah.
Now you're talking crazy.
What it was your ship, and the reason why they call it Einhander is because you can get one massive cannon, and it can flip from the bottom of your ship to the top of your ship.
Right.
And then you get other upgrades to put wherever that one isn't.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. It's just like total carnage. Yeah. And it's got a really cool techno soundtrack.
Yeah. Soundtrack here is really cool.
That was just amazing. Yeah. Which you do have the soundtrack for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, no, I do remember it. I remember someone showing me that, and that was the one last night when we were preparing for this podcast. I was trying to think to myself. I was lying in the bed thinking to myself, what was that game? Then I fell asleep. Know what I mean?
Cool story.
Cool story,
bro. Boo! No, that was last episode. Now we're no. Who was last episode? This is no.
Nah, man.
No.
Jeff, what do you like? Space shooters.
Pigs in Space.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't.
Pigs in Space is an Atari game, and it was actually better than Muppet Adventures for the Nintendo.
That's not saying a whole lot.
It was actually better. It was Pigs in Space was like, hey, let's just take popular arcade games and just copy it. And you could pick three different games. You could pick Link Hogthrob, Dr. Strange Pork, or you could pick Miss Piggy. And the hardest one was Strange Pork, because it was a Xevious type of game.
That was weird.
That was really hard, where you had to kind of fly and Gonzo was shooting at you the whole time. There was the Link Hogthrob one where it's just chickens coming down instead of Space Invaders. Chickens coming down. That was a chicken. And chickens coming down and you're just shooting chickens. Is this a chicken or is this the Cadbury Bunny?
The world will never know.
We did a Pokemon spawn mating thing, and it's chicken mom.
You don't know anything about Pokemon, do you? You have no idea what you're talking about. It's like a Poke Digimon thingy. Pokachu. He has no idea what he's talking about right now. The only one in the group that has no idea talking about Pokemon, and he drops the Pokemon.
I don't know anything. I never play it. I don't think I've ever seen gameplay.
I can't wait until the Pokemon episode where it's just like, here you go, Matt.
Hey, it's all right. I just sent him my Set Game Boy table. Pocket and Pokemon so he can play.
Mom got Pokemon.
So she said.
Yeah. Neither of you are wrong.
Nah.
And then Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy was a Frogger game.
Yeah. That was cool.
Wait a minute.
That was pretty cool.
That's funny on many levels.
Yeah.
Except she didn't get run over. She just got pushed back at the start. I would have liked to see like somebody get out and like throw on the grill and stuff afterwards, but
there was no cars.
And the sweet smell of bacon emanates from your computer.
It was asteroids and aliens flying by instead of cars and alligators.
Oh, true, it is in space.
Yeah, but
Barf could have come by.
But Barf could have come by.
Always when I'm eating.
Nice.
They should have made a game based on the Great Space Coaster.
I've never seen Great Space Coast.
Nobody.
Nope.
Nobody's coming with me on this one.
Nope.
Awesome.
Boom.
Do your homework. Look it up.
The Great Space Coaster?
Nope.
Nah, me.
No.
Isn't that a space
anyone going with me on this one? All three of us. No.
Let me see.
What I like is, I mean, obviously, there was an era for these space fighters, and it was just, everybody was putting them out, and I really feel like you got to give a shout out to Star Fox for bringing it back. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Star Fox made it meaningful again, and obviously it's a very different game. Mm-hmm. But you know, at its core, you know, the real space fighting Star Foxes. I mean, I'm not going to count Star Fox Adventure. I mean, not that that's a bad game, but it's just not.
It's a fantastic game.
It's not a Star Fox game,
right?
So at their core. You know, the Star Fox games, I mean, those are, as Matt would say, a key.
It's key.
They're key. Uh-huh. You know, they did some really cool things in the original one, and obviously that, to me, that's the one that's probably most memorable.
Uh-huh. But let me ask you, if it wasn't such a breakthrough game, and this isn't me, like, knocking it, because I love Star Fox.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I personally feel the reason it got the press that it did was because it was the first game to come out with that FX chip. Mm-hmm. And it was something new that Nintendo was trying, and they promoted it with that. If it wasn't for that fact, do you think Star Fox would have done as well as it did?
You know what? Star Fox had a lot of things going for it that made it kind of original. You know, the fact that, again, this was a good long time since the kind of Starfighter type of games had been out. So it did seem like a very unique and original concept at the time. Throw into the fact that obviously you have the FX chip, and throw in the fact that your main character's Fox. I mean, come on. Give it up for Foxes.
Because, you know, it wasn't for graphics. I mean, the graphics in that game was horrible compared to some of the Super NES games that were out at the time. Like, UN Squadron was a fantastic-looking game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Super Castlevania. I mean, those were really graphic, intense games, whereas Star Fox wasn't. It was more about the story and the gameplay, because it was so fluid.
The gameplay, that's awesome. What I was going to say. Yeah. You can give so much credit in Star Fox, its uniqueness, obviously. You know, the music is just probably one of the best soundtracks in any game ever in the history of mankind.
Hands down.
You
hands
know.
Down.
But, you know, just... I okay. I'm going to let this go for a minute.
Since everybody can only hear that, nobody could see it, Brandon was really angry about this. He was really hesitant, and at the end, he just jumped right in.
I was going to say, back to what Steve said, the gameplay was probably the strongest part of the game, to be quite honest with you, because it did have that kind of, like, if... You kind of just jumped in as it being like a natural kind of flight simulation type of thing. I mean, you felt good about the controls. I mean, you get the... In the first one, did you have barrel rolls? You didn't have barrel rolls.
No barrel roll.
You had to click it a bunch of times, like twice or three times.
So, I mean, and I remember you could turn the ship a lot and do those type of things. And, you know, obviously, you had your little, like, tunnels and stuff you wanted to get in and pick up items and stuff like that. You know, once you get the hang of it, you just felt so into the gameplay.
Because it was so fluid.
The controls were great.
And not only that, but it was also, you know, going back to the music, it was also, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was the first Super Nintendo game to actually have voice in it. Because, you know, it does the whole, you know, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like,
you know, what is it saying in the very beginning? Something like
that. Well, it's like danger. Then it goes danger.
Prepare to watch.
I mean, it wasn't the first game that had. I mean, what about Blades of Steel?
Super Nintendo.
Alright.
Ghostbusters!
It was a Bayou Billy.
Oh, really? That one too. Oh, I love those early attempts at sounding.
The thing I really liked about Star Fox as well is that it didn't. You could say the AI was kind of useless, but it made you feel like you were interacting.
Yeah, that's true.
Wasn't just they're just fun, they're actually talking to you. Help me out, I'm being. So it added more, but you're protecting them, but also.
It was cinematic in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, it was. Here's the thing, you take that idea of kind of like a space fighter, you know, you're shooting stuff. Obviously, there's no story in Space Invaders. I mean, it's just like shooting stuff. But. They could have easily just went like, okay, we're going to drop you in this world and let's shoot stuff. But instead, they incorporated these characters and had them popping up and interacting with them. And just really, really smart on their part in all senses. I mean, kudos to Nintendo. I mean, who knew you had it in you?
I did, from the very beginning.
I did, too.
Ever since I saw Miyamoto with his shirt off, I knew that was it.
They kind of fixed all that with the...
No, I mean...
Making your companions more interactive, because by having them in Star Fox 64, there was actually a bonus to having them. They actually had specific skills.
Listen, we gotta go back and fix up our vehicle for a little bit, but we'll be back. And it made it more. I think that
like epic feeling.
In a lot of ways, 64 definitely improved upon the formula.
Yeah.
Plus, you had the four player aspect, which.
Is always mint.
It's always amazing, yeah. Mint.
Mint Julep.
But you got to give props to the original one for being the original.
That's right.
You know? Plus, the music was better in the original, my opinion.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, the music in the other games, I mean, they're bad, but yeah, I mean, there was just something about the first track, not Concordia, that's just like, yes. I mean, well, that's what got me into game music. Side note, you know, but it's just. Yeah. See, the tune that will stick with you. You know, it just it sucks you in.
Now, Matt, you had a chance to play the GameCube version, not the Star Fox Adventure, but Star Fox Assault for the first time.
That was cool.
And you were quite impressed.
I was.
I have it. You can borrow it sometime.
It was really, really fun. Yeah, I was really into it.
I think one thing it might get ridiculed from is that you know how sometimes you can take a simple formula and maybe overdo it a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that one you can jump out of your vehicle for a while and run around and do stuff and jump in tanks and stuff like that. And that's all great. But again, sometimes it's at its simplest, it's still better.
Yeah.
You know, you can add things. Obviously, 64 added stuff to the original one and that improved it in a lot of ways. But, you know, sometimes it's just unnecessary.
But it still kept it the original one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think with the GameCube one, it definitely changed it so much that I don't know if it was quite as good, but it is a lot of fun. And visually,
it's a beautiful game.
Yeah,
it really is a beautiful game.
Yeah, visually.
Especially when you first enter on the planet and you're flying to like that marsh area.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the reflections in the water and stuff. I mean, for, you know, not to say GameCube games have bad graphics, but I guess for that time, it was amazing.
Yeah, no, they definitely, for that system at the time, you know, it was really good. You know what we should do? Just this idea just popped up in my head.
Start a pop band?
We should do a review of Star Fox and Star Fox 64.
Oh, good.
And let's get it out by next Wednesday. Of course, this podcast will be out after it, so let's just get it out. Let's have it out before this podcast, actually, now I'm thinking about it.
That would be time real, travel. That'd be wow. Really cool.
You just created a paradox, didn't you?
Yeah. So we'll do that, and then people can just check it out on WordPress. What are your thoughts? Jupiter.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, we'll have that up last week.
See, he knows when this video is going out. That'll be good. We'll have to do that. So if you want to check out our WordPress sometime, we'll start doing some reviews.
Yeah.
And if you want to check out our WordPress anyway, we've got some really cool articles on that. We've had some interviews with people. We've had some information, especially in the last month or two, you know, celebrating our anniversary. We've talked about some of our greatest moments and
mm-hmm.
really had a lot of good time. So
we had a public service announcement.
Public service announcement for Pokeholics, mm-hmm. Along with our friends at Underbelly.
Which I am a member of.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. I've never heard
you
of
will
it.
Be.
Well, what is it called when like an addict goes? Is it remission or is it no? That's
fascinating.
Yeah.
Recovering.
When you're like off the wagon. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. So Steve is definitely off the wagon as far as his Pokeholism right now. You know, he jumped back into it.
Yep.
He jumped back into, was it green or yellow? You were playing
yellow.
Just like in the yellow, and it gets him going enough that he goes out and gets a DS Lite and buys Pokemon White.
Mm-hmm.
Man! That's what you call Pokeholism. And I have it. Jupiter has it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's not aware of it.
Matt is aware of it. He's going to get it.
Matt likes Digimon. Because he thinks it's cooler to clean up his Poke or his Digimon poop.
I like Sailor Moon.
Where does that even come into? So all keep right. Your children away from Matt. No. But that's our WordPress. Matt.
Yeah.
M Trip.
That's me.
Trippo.
What do you want?
Triple.
Know what I mean?
King Trippo.
What are some other ways besides our WordPress that they can be a part of FamilyCon Flashback? Because we're a family here. We want our family to join us.
Family Matters theme song.
I'm not a
guy. Wow. Jupiter.
That was the Family Matters theme song. But you have no idea what it is. So you just sang Family Matters theme song.
Jupiter, do you want to...
Okay, it goes something like... It's a rare condition
this day and age to read any good news on a newspaper
page. Love and tradition. The grand design.
Some people say it's even harder to find.
Help us.
And there must be some magic something inside. Isn't a one.
Boo!
No,
that's no, man. No.
No, man.
We give that song 5 Famicom flashbacks. No.
Anyway, yeah. If you like that song and you want to hear more, shoot us an email at famicomflashbacks@yahoo.com. Check out our Facebook page, our sweet and sexy YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at Famicom Flash. And like Brendan said, our blog site, Famicom Flashbacks.wordpress.com. We're going to have some really bumping things going.
Yeah. Our space theme is just beginning, and we got some really exciting things.
That's right. And no one will hear you scream.
Because it's space.
Alien.
Wouldn't it be cool? I wonder, wouldn't it be cool if we went into outer space and aliens have already been receiving some of our broadcasts, like televised broadcasts, and they're watching Family Matters?
That'd be awesome.
And
but their theme song is just Family Matters theme song.
Family Matters theme song. Family power.
Take that, Michael Bay. Face.
Apparently, Michael Bay is directing the new Family Matters movie.
And they're aliens.
No, the Family Matters Turtles crossover.
Carl Winslow is back.
Urkel's played by Shia LaBeouf. So check us out on this stuff. If let me just say this, we have not been drinking. So
we don't even advocate it.
I'm not a big advocate. No, but please give us a shout out. Contact us. Let us know.
Email us.
Any ways that Matt had previously mentioned.
We're lonely.
And getting excited about the space theme. And if you love space games, definitely want to get involved during these next 2 months.
Absolutely, positively.
So from M Trip.
Me.
Jupiter.
No.
I thought we were really gonna go through notes. Steve.
That's me.
And of course myself, Brandon. Let's keep retro gaming alive.
Keep it and keep it
alive.
Boo. All right, bye.